This reading is from Exodus 20, verse 1 to 6, and page 77 on the Church Bibles. And God spoke all these words.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery.
You shall not have any other gods before me.
You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth, beneath or in the waters below.
You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, boys. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Question. What do these three have in common? It's a picture of the Temple of Jerusalem. It's the Dead Sea and the number seven. Does anyone... This is a hard question. I'll be honest. It's a hard question. Does anyone have any idea what they have in common? I'm looking at the clergy as well. No? No? Anyone? No? I am not making it up. They are the three wonders of ancient Israel. You have the sea in which no one sinks, the Dead Sea. You have the day on which no one does any work, the seventh day. And the temple in which there are no statues. And in ancient Israel, the nations around looked at this. They thought it was very strange that these things would be true. Has anyone actually floated in the Dead Sea? It is a very surreal... There you go. All these people know how... It's kind of a surreal experience, isn't it? You just sit there and you cannot sink if you tried. Although, don't try, because it would actually probably kill you in the process, because it's so salty. But my question is this. Why are there no statues in the temple? In the temple of God, where people worship God in Jerusalem, there are no statues. Why? Does anyone know? Let's see how good... This is a memory test. No one know? Let's give you... The first commandment. God says, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. What's the second commandment? No idols. Whew, good. You're listening. That's good. You shall not make for yourself any idol. No statues. No images of God. Why? Why did God say, don't make a statue or an image of me? That's our question this morning, at least to start with. Over the last couple of weeks in church, boys and girls, we have been thinking about the Ten Commandments, and we're going to continue for, we've done one, so today's two, we've got another 8 weeks to go on the Ten Commandments. And 2 weeks ago, we heard that God was on the... Moses went up the mountain and spoke with God several times. But then Moses came down the mountain and God spoke from the thunder and the lightning and the cloud and the fire. It was a really... That was a kind of scary picture I came up with. And God spoke and all the people heard what God said. It wasn't just Moses having a chat with God and God says, hey Moses, here are 10 laws. No, God spoke and everybody heard. And then a few years later, Moses is reminding people, and he said this, when the Lord spoke to you out of the fire, you heard only the sound of words, but you saw no form. You didn't see a body. You didn't see anyone. All you heard was a voice. All you heard was a voice. God is saying you need to listen to what I'm saying. That's the important thing. Listen to what I say. How many times have you heard that from Mum and Dad? Listen to what I say and do what I say. But sometimes. But why is it God says, listen to me? Because if people saw an image of God, they'd say, that's what God is like. And we're very visual people. We look at things and we make judgments. So take a picture. Here's a picture of my good friend, Pete. Now, someone tell me something about Pete. He's tall. He's very tall, isn't he? Yeah. What else can you tell about Pete? He's a man, yes, yeah, we are good. Yeah, he's a man, he's tall. Sorry? He's very active, he loves walking in the Lake District. Anyone recognise where we were walking? Oh, sneaky pits. Anyone know in the Lake District? It's not Striding Edge, it's Langdale Valley. Pavey Ark, the top of Pavey Ark, well done. Yeah? So Pete's also younger than me. You can't tell that. I'm glad you couldn't tell that. That makes me feel so good. Okay. He looks less out of breath than me. Okay, he's taller, he's younger, and he enjoys walking in the Lake District. There's a picture of Pete. You know stuff about him, yeah? What football team does he support? Leeds United. You see, you'd never know that he's from Ireland. He's actually a vicar now. He's a dad. His daughter Enya is my goddaughter. And he not only supports Leeds United, he plays football and table tennis and lots of things. You see, you have a picture, but you don't really know what he's like. Because a picture is just taken in that moment in time, isn't it? We don't really get under the skin of my friend Pete. And that's what it is, how it is with God. God says, well, let's get rid of that picture because you don't want to look at me all the time. God hides himself in the thunder and lightning and in the cloud. And he speaks in a loud voice like trumpets. The earthquake trembles. There's a little picture in him. We're getting a little bit about what God is like there. Very scary. You can't just approach him. But then God speaks. And he says, I am the Lord your God who did what? Can anyone remember? What did God say he did? If you're unsure, you can open your Bible, have a quick look. What did God do? In Exodus 20. I'm looking for someone in school who can answer this question. There's a hand right at the back. I brought you out of Egypt. What else? What else did God do when he did that? How did he do it? Can anyone remember something happened in the story of the Exodus? Again, you've got to be in school to answer this question. You can't remember a thing about the Exodus. Sunday school teachers, we need to work on this. There's another hand waving at the back. He separated the Red Sea. Amazing, yeah. And then what happened to the Red Sea? Once Israel had gone through, what did happen to the sea after that? It closed back in on itself. There's a few of you doing this. That's great. And what happened to the Egyptian army? They were wiped out. Well, let's see, we do know this story. God did all this. How would you put that in a single image? How can you draw a picture of God who delivers his people, who rescues them, parts the Red Sea, who says, I looked after you like an eagle looks after your young? You can't put all that in a picture. God says, listen to what I say. And then you'll know who I am. But the thing is, we're lazy. Listening to God, listening to all that God says is hard work. Because you've got to think. You've got to read the words that we find in the Bible. And you've got to think about it. And we're saying, what is this telling me about God? We're lazy. It's far easier to copy someone else. And find out what their God's like and copy that. Or just make God up ourselves. It's a lot easier, isn't it? And God says, don't do that. You need to listen to me to know what I'm like. But if listening to God is hard work, how does God solve that problem? You have to wait to find out.
And we're going to have our second reading now.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For him all things were created. Things in him, heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him.
He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy.
For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour.
But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, the Dean family. Back to my friend Pete. How are you going to get to know what Pete's like? Meet him. What are you going to say? Meet him. Spend time with him. Just talk to him. Do stuff with him. And that's how you will get to know what he is like. God wants us to worship him and worship him alone. God wants us to know how great he is, to know what he is really like, so that we can praise him properly, so that we can really can say how great he is. Because that's kind of what worship is. It's telling someone what they are worth, their worth-ship. So we tell God what he is worth. We tell God how great he is. That's kind of what we do in church on Sundays. But to do that, we need to know what God is like. So how does God solve the problem of our laziness? Because sometimes it's really hard to read through the Old Testament and try and figure out what God is like. How did God solve the problem? Well, he sent an image into the world, didn't he? He said, don't make images, but he sent the Lord Jesus. And that reading that we've just had from the book of Colossians, it had lots of big words in it, I know. But it starts this way. He is the image, or actually, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Remember, God was in the cloud. You couldn't see what he was like. There was no shape, no form. We didn't know what God was really like by looking. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the one who tells us what God is really like. In the book of Hebrews, the writer says this: Jesus is the exact representation of his being. Now, you may not understand the word representation, but exact. Jesus is an exact copy. Well, actually, Jesus is God. When we look at Jesus, we get to know what God is like. We don't need to make any more images. We don't need to make God up, because God has made himself so known, so made it so obvious, made it so clear by showing us Jesus. So, if you've got a Bible, do you want to keep it open at Colossians chapter 1? And if you have a look at it over your mum and dad's shoulder as well, children, and we can try and figure out what some of these things are that Paul says about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. So he's the one who's going to show us what God is like. Verse 4:16 tells us, for by him all things were created. Who is God? Who is Jesus? He's the one who made everything. Absolutely everything was made by God. That's what we read in verse 16. In verse 17, we read that in him all things hold together. Now, there's a strange thing. When you hold something together, if you don't hold it, it's going to fall apart, isn't it? Everything is held together by Jesus. Our moon goes around our earth, and our earth goes around the sun, and our universe spins because the Lord Jesus is holding it together. Our earth has not torn itself apart through earthquakes and volcano eruptions and all things like that, because the Lord Jesus is holding it together. Our world has not blown itself up with all the nuclear bombs that we have, because the Lord Jesus has stopped that happening. And he's holding us together. We're here. Who's breathing here this morning? Whose brain? Who's breathing here this morning? Okay, you are. And whose brain is working? A bit slower than some people. We're breathing, we're taking in air, and our brains, all the electrical impulses are going around our brains because the Lord Jesus, he's the one who's giving us life. He is the one who is sustaining us. He is the head of the church. The Lord Jesus is head of the church. The church is not the building. The church, what is church? It's not a building, it's what? People. Church is people. The Lord Jesus is head of our church family. We're family because actually we're part of the church. So the people around us, they're our family. We're not alone. We belong somewhere. We're special. We have lots and lots of brothers and sisters. We're a family because of Jesus. We're not alone. And then this is where I start to get a bit more complicated, because we read that Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead. Firstborn from among the dead. Jesus is the one who, he died, but he's now alive again. And if Jesus said, if I'm alive and you believe in me, you too will have life as well. So one day when we die, we'll rise again and we will live forever with the Lord Jesus. He's the first one who's gone through death and come out the other side to live forever. So we have a hope for the future. And then we get near the end and we read, at one time we were enemies with God, but God made us his friends. God reconciled us. God brought two people who were enemies together so that we could be friends. And how did God do that? By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. God is someone who wants to be friends with us. And he wants us to be his friends. And the cross is where we see God, so much of God at one time. Because the cross reminds us that we do things wrong. And there's a penalty for sin. But the cross reminds us that God came into this world to die, taking the punishment we deserve so we can be friends. We've already asked this morning, who's done something wrong this week? Who's had to say sorry? Who's done something wrong this week? Yeah, sometimes when we do things wrong, we actually have to pay a price, don't we? There's a punishment for the things that we do wrong. We can say sorry, but it doesn't get us out of being punished. And those of us who are certainly in high school, we know this to be true, and in junior school as well. If you do something wrong, there's often a punishment for it. And the more serious the crime, the more serious the punishment. Well, the Bible tells us that when we sin, when we disobey God, God has to punish us. But the cross is a reminder that God says, I will take the punishment for you. And because I've taken the punishment, there's nothing to stop us being friends. I can forgive you. So, there's a brief picture of what God is like. There's so much more we could say. All we have to do to learn what God is like is to look at the life of Jesus. Let's read a gospel. Let's read the whole of the Bible as well, because it's all about Jesus. But the Gospels are the clearest book where we learn what Jesus is like. We saw all the things that he said and all the things that he did and how he treated people. This is what God is like. And the picture we find of God is absolutely wonderful. So I want to ask this question. If Jesus really is that wonderful and God is that great, why do we run after other things? Why do we make other things and other people the most important part of our lives? Because that's what we do. We run after things that ultimately don't satisfy us. Anyone got one of these? It's a PlayStation. It's a games console. I don't know what it is. What's it called? It's a Nintendo Swift. It's the latest games console. There's nothing wrong with having one. But if that's all you ever do, I knew a teenager, and all he ever did was play Call of Duty. Not in this church, don't worry, it's none of you. All he ever did was play Call of Duty on his games console. That for him was life. But if there's nothing wrong with playing a game, but if that's all we ever did, there's something wrong. Maybe friends, the most important thing. Who likes to have friends? Every hand went up, that's good. We all like to have friends, but if having friends is the most important thing, and we'll have friends at any cost, and we'll say the right things, just to have people who will say we're our friends, that's not enough. Doesn't Jesus say, I'm your friend already? Maybe we have our heroes. It may be a superhero, it might be some people have the heroes done on TV, their favourite pop star or whatever, and they buy the t-shirts. I was going to say they buy their records, but we don't do that anymore. We download all, we don't even download, we stream online, don't we? They listen to the same music. They know everything there is to know about somebody. There's nothing wrong with having your favourite singer. But if that's all you ever talk about, oh dear. Maybe for a bit older, it's our job. That's the most important part of our lives. Jobs are important, they're good, but if it's all we ever do, if all we ever do is work, 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 God's not number one. Maybe it is a relationship, not just friends, but a special relationship. Maybe we're living just to find that special somebody. Maybe it's a relationship within our family. Maybe it's our children. And all we ever do is think about them. And that's a good thing to do. But they're not the ultimate thing. Maybe for some people it's just money. They want lots and lots and lots of money. For maybe some people, and this is one for mums and dads, I think, in church. Maybe for some people, we think there's a particular way of doing church. We have our favourite service, and actually that service is the only way we can worship God. And that becomes the most important thing for us. It's great that we have a variety of services here in St John's that we can attend. Each one is slightly different. Each one is a different way and a good way of praising God. But if we say, no, this is the most important, we're making that more important than Jesus. Maybe for some of us, it's what we believe. We like to think of God as a God of love. But the talk about God being angry and judging people, we don't like that. So we'll ignore it and we'll just say, isn't God a God of love? Why would we do that? God is a God of love, yes, but God is also someone who punishes people who do wrong. And that's a good thing. It's called justice. Why would we do all these things? Why would we do all these things and not worship God who is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ? We're part of his family. We're his friend. He's given us a hope for the future. We don't have to worry, slave it away in a career and make that the most important thing. He's the ultimate superhero. He's the one who truly rescues us. He's better than anything in the world. All these things that I've just described, we can call them idols. They're images of the God we would choose to worship. But the Bible says Jesus is better. Let's worship him. He's the one who's taken the second commandment and transformed it and made it beautiful. Because in Jesus, we see God. Let's listen to him and worship him.